All right, well, let's go ahead and get started here. For the purposes of the recording, my name is Merle Shank, and we are talking about how to stay emotionally healthy and avoiding burnout. Okay, great. Let me know kind of who all do we have in the room. How many of you are lead pastors? Awesome. Grace to you. All right. How many of you serve on elders teams? Awesome. Great. Cool. Well, let's pray and we'll get right into it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your purposes here. God, we thank you for every life represented here, every ministry, every church represented here, every elders team. Father, we thank you for your heart with us here today. God, we thank you that you give us wisdom to build well, to structure well, and to know how to order our lives and order our days so that we can be fruitful over the long term. And fruitful over, God, not just 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, but 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Father, we thank you for the examples that we have in the Dove International family of this. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace here today. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would lead our time together. Lord, you know the different scenarios that all of us find ourselves in. And so I thank you that, God, we would even be answering questions that might not be verbalized here today. So, Lord, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, God. We thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy, that you are the burden carrier. You are the burden bearer. We are not the burden bearers, God. It is just our job to walk in lockstep with you, in obedience with you. I thank you, Lord, that God, any kind of Christ complex where we feel like we need to carry the weight of the world would just be laid down here today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that your hand is upon each life. I thank you that you are ordering steps here today in Jesus' name. God, we honor you as the one who carries the weight of the world, the one who carries the burdens of the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So one thing I've learned, this is a freebie, not in my notes, is that when we start to carry burdens that are Jesus's job to carry, when we get the Christ complex where like we feel like we need to fix all the problems or we need to fix people or we need to, you know, find all the solutions, God is really good at allowing us to hit walls. How many of you have ever hit an emotional wall? Okay, yeah. And you just kind of hit it and you don't know what to do. And, you know, when we carry things that we're not called to carry, when we carry burdens that we're not called to bear, the Lord will let us sit with those burdens sometimes. And he allows us to kind of sit in our mess until we're able to hand it over to him. I want to tell you a little bit of my journey. You'll hear more of our story tonight, but a part of our journey is that there was a time when we were just doing way too much. We were really busy with ministry. We were really busy with what I thought I needed to be doing as a local pastor, as someone who was planting a church in a cross-cultural context. And we were, I was leading personally 7 life groups a week and preaching on Sunday morning. So that was like every night out ministering in people's homes, dealing with people who were drug addicts and dealing with people. Not every life group had drug addicts, but you know, like there was just, you know, that was like one scenario here. Another scenario is just an outreach into a local area, you know, in streets in a place called Woodstock in Cape Town. And it was a really good time for us. It was also a really hard time for me. And it was probably about maybe 7 years in before we even really figured out that we were long-term missionaries, you know, because we were a part of it. You know, we went on the field to be like, God said, yes, we're in, like we're going, right? Like, ah! And we didn't, after about 7-8 years, we actually came back to like Eastern Mennonite Missions, YWAM, and we said, hey, what are the books that you give your people when you send them out? Because we don't, we need to read those books. And then we read some of those books as long-term missionaries, and we were like, that's what we did. That mistake. Yeah, I remember when we did that, and I remember when we made that mistake, and that's why that scenario turned out the way it did. Awesome. Thank you so much.
They did get us one.
Okay, great. Now we have two. Amen. Thank you so much. And so we just kind of, we had gone through a Bible school. We did not, we learned how to preach. We learned how to, have good theology, but we didn't learn the practicals of like dealing with people and dealing with marriages and dealing with finances. And, a lot of times, in our local church context, we wound up talking the most about relationships and about finances. And that was just part of our journey, part of our story, working in a developing nation in South Africa. And it all kind of led to a place where, and it was probably aided by some malaria meds that I was taking, but having like a total emotional breakdown I remember sitting like on the floor, on my knees, sobbing to my wife, totally just an emotional wreck at that point, and just tired, just weary, like poured out, nothing left. I can't go another day. What is this? And at the same time, God was moving. Like it was at a period of time where it was not uncommon for us to see miracles happening almost every Sunday. So God was moving. I mean, prophetic words were a normal thing. Somebody getting healed or delivered from demonic possession was a normal thing in those meetings on a Sunday morning, yet internally, I was fried. Anyone else ever have that scenario where you just wind up being fried? And for the life of you, I mean, there are some things that I needed to learn about myself and about my vessel. And I want to, I want to share with you and the things that we learned here, I want to share today. So then we'll open it up for questions at the end and talk about some practical stuff. Every one of us needs a place to process our emotions. Okay? This cannot be overstated enough. So Chris, we have Chris here who is a counselor, a good counselor. I send all my hard counseling cases to him. I'm just kidding. No, but knowing how to delegate and outsource is really important. We all need to be able to process emotionally, because if you don't, that catches up with you. So even recently, just through, so right now, there's a business or two that I'm running, leading a church, Newport Church, as the lead pastor, and then walking through the succession process. We're really busy right now in our lives. And I've started something new after over 19 years in pastoral ministry. I've started to journal just this year, like just get it out of my head. Right? We have a great inner capacity. God can bless us with a great inner capacity, but we need to be able to process what is happening in our lives and make sense of it. Even if it doesn't necessarily make sense on paper all the time. So I'm not a great journal. I've started journaling probably a couple hundred times. And it would last a day or two. I'm actually like into my second month now, so it's pretty good. but that's been helpful, is knowing how to process. And the reason why we want to do this is because every single one of us, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about psychology here, okay? Now, I am not a psychologist. If I say anything wrong, Chris will fix you up afterwards. But like, the psychology of this is that we all have internal stories. We all have internal dialogue. We all have internal stories that we have in our lives. And these stories are defined and they are reinforced by things that happen to us. An example, if I believe I am a victim of something, whatever it is, I will find that story in my life, if my heart. So there's a difference between what your heart believes and what your head believes, okay? Our hearts can lie to us. The Bible says that our hearts can be deceptive. And if your heart believes that you're a victim, you will find reinforcement for that story in many things that you walk through. Somebody doesn't greet you properly. Somebody doesn't acknowledge you in some way. Maybe you get let go from a job or a position or something happens, and you can automatically attribute it to the fact that like I'm a victim of something. The problem with our internal stories is we all have them, and we have to be able to acknowledge what they are. We have to know what they are. Many times it is rooted somehow in a lie that the enemy sows into us, whether it's in childhood, whether it's through a traumatic experience that we walk through. There's a lie that the enemy tries to bring. You can have the best parents in the world and still receive some wounds from the father of lies. Okay? What happens is that can start to be the lens that you look at life through, whether it is I am rejected, I don't belong, I shouldn't be here. Those can be some internal dialogue, some internal stories. And what happens if that is a lie for you and you walk around kind of dealing with a spirit of rejection, everything that happens to you is kind of filtered through that lens. And so one thing that we need to understand is that as much as it is important about what actually happens to us, almost more important is what we believe about what happens to us. And I can tell you why this is true, because you can take two different people, stick them through the same circumstances, the exact same circumstances, and come out with people having two totally different results in life. How many of you know that's true? Because it's what happens is what is the internal story in the lives of people will cause them, and our lives will cause us to react and act out of certain things, out of certain ways. And so one of the key things in staying emotionally healthy is recognize, number one, what are the key, the main lies that the enemy tries to use against you. So there's emotional intelligence required where, you know, every so often in my life, this thing kind of just resurfaces. And sometimes it can be demonic, sometimes there can be things, but many times it sits on a lie, okay? Many times it comes out in transition, in times of transition, or times where things are, you know, the apple cart's kind of upset, where that can start to rise to the top, where we're out of our normal patterns, we're out of the normal things that we have structured to keep us safe in our lives. And we've been going through about 9 years of transition since we left Cape Town. I'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. But just in the face of uncertainty, these internal stories can rise up. And if you don't know what the lie is that the enemy tries to control you with, what happens is you wind up being shut down, turned off, oppressed, walking around with burdens that you weren't meant to carry. But when you know what the enemy tries to use against you, you can be immune to it. You can be like, oh yeah, that's just some stuff from, like, that's me. That's so one of the lies for me was that, like, my voice wasn't heard. What I said didn't matter. And so you can live your life like kind of almost reacting to that, where you can like try and force your voice to be heard, or you can just take a blasé approach to life and be like, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. You know, everything's just going to do whatever it's going to do anyway, right? Another lie is that you're insignificant, or that, you know, those. So it's really important to identify those lies so you can isolate them, because they lose power when you recognize what they are. And then the second step of that is to become vulnerable about it. So right now I'm sharing, like, what is the challenge? What is the challenge that the enemy tries to use for me? I'm sharing it with a room, full of, I don't know, 50 people, 40 people here. I can't count that well. what is that? Would you mind just closing the doors? Just, we won't lock them. You can get out if you want. But I'm just saying that because I can get loud and everyone else is trying to also teach. Thank you. So knowing what those kind of life-controlling, anointing-controlling things that try to bring intimidation into your life, because if the enemy can intimidate you, he can strip the anointing and the grace off of your life. Because when you're intimidated, you don't have faith. You don't step out in faith. You won't take the risk when you're intimidated. And so what happens is, that's how the enemy will subliminally try and cut your ankles off, is by some of those lies. It can be, you know, whether it's happened in childhood, whether it's happened in life, in leadership, you can get beat up by people, you can, all that stuff, and it can wind up feeding, if we're not careful, it can wind up feeding these internal stories. And every one of us have them. So you got to know what they are, and then you got to be able to go before God and say, Lord, what is your story over my life? What is the truth? What do you believe about this in me? And intentionally choose to embrace that truth. Is this making sense? So, and you got to be brutal with it. Like, you got to, like, just go and be brutal with that. Been doing a lot with, like, empowering beliefs, and so what you believe about what you walk through is super important. And going back to the Father and saying, God, what is it that you say about what I'm walking through, so that we don't wind up being kneecapped by circumstances in our life. Because if you believe you're tired, if you believe you're overwhelmed, if you believe you can't do it, if you believe that there's no possible way, guess what? You'll be tired. You'll be overwhelmed. There won't be any possible way. Right? And God has called us to do great things, which means that most likely nobody else in the world will ever do exactly what God has called you to do. And so we're called to take ground. We're called to move forward. So recognizing things that are life-limiting beliefs, life-limiting lies, reconstructing that internal thought process, that internal story. I mean, this is the Bible, you know, does that as a man believes in his heart, so is he, right? So and I'm not talking about, like, name it and claim it, like, I don't have a cold, you know, like your nose is running. Like, no, like, that's not reality. The thing is, though, like, what is the story in your heart that you give your faith to? that you give yourself to. And the enemy can be right there to whisper, you can't make it. You're not good enough. No one's listening. You know, all that stuff. Like, and so you got to be able to combat that, number one. Okay. Now that's, you know, a personality issue. Some of us with our personalities and our giftings don't have problems with stuff like that. Others of us do. That's a big factor for us. But every single one of us have internal stories. Being able to recognize those internal stories, being able to know how to strategically frame from the Lord the season that you're in. Okay, so God, what are you saying about what I'm walking through? God, you said, I mean, just a real practical example. God, you said that I can grow Newport Church and lead Dove International. I don't know practically how that's going to work. But God said that's the instruction. So it's possible. It's possible, right? And so then structuring things also. Jacob, it says that he blessed his sons while leaning on his staff. His staff was something that he received when he wrestled with the Lord. God touched his hip. Every one of us wrestle with God. And he was able to bless the next generations because he leaned on his staff. There's things that we have to staff our weaknesses. So Jacob had a weakness from wrestling with the Lord. A lot of times we go through challenges in our lives that expose to us our weaknesses, expose to us that areas that we need strengthening in. And so for me, that's partly, you know, actually hiring staff, you know, not the wood stick, but like actually, you know, like helping, you know, getting people around or getting volunteers, getting people who are gifted where we are not gifted, getting people who find flourishing and life-giving what you find draining, right? And practically ordering our life and our schedules around that. Okay, that's enough about the emotional, healthy side of things. If every one of us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. How many of you recognize we are clay? Yeah, we're clay. As humans, we can be clay, but we have glory inside of us that God wants to reveal to the earth. We're called to be vessels that bring his glory, bring his anointing to the face of the earth. So if we are vessels, if we're a vessel, I want to draw this out here. I think I shared this at Westgate a little bit ago. How many of you know that we're called to be overflowing, right? So if we're all water pots, if we're all jars, right, we want to be overflowing. Amen? Okay, that amen wasn't that I'm finishing. But like the recording, they said, give a good amen when you're done. Yeah. Like, no, we're still going. Okay, so if each one of our life is a vessel, we have things that drain us, and we have things that fill us, okay? Now, the key is to not do anything that drains you. That's a joke. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That we could just, you know, don't do anything that drains you, right? Like, that would be amazing, okay? How many of you know that that's not reality? Right, especially in leadership, especially when like you're planting a church or you're leading something, whether it be a business or a leadership or a life group, a church, a house church, a community church, a mega church, whatever, there's stuff that drains you. And it is unique to you. It is part of your story. It is part of your journey. It is part of your history. It drains you, right? Like unresolved conflict drains me personally. Like that's just, it drains me. And so I will chase conflict because I don't like it to be unresolved. Like people in my life know that if there's a challenge, if there's like, it's, we're going to have conflict so that we can get it over with because I hate unresolved conflict. Now that's just me and my personality. What is it for you? What is it for you that's draining to you, that just sucks the life out of you, that just takes the wind out of you? You have to know yourself. You have to know your vessel. You have to know what it is that just kind of can punch you in the gut and take you out in a key moment, because that's where the enemy wants to try it, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in relationships with elders, whether it's in all of that stuff. The enemy tries to stir stuff up in our lives to impede us, because he does not want the kingdom of God to come in and through our lives, which you and I have the mandate from God, the ability from God, the anointing from the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of God. Amen? And that we can easily say yes when we're on a mountaintop experience. But what about when there's like major stuff going on? What about when people are lying about you? When people are like saying bad things about you? And Jesus said, hey, they did this to me. They're going to do it to us, to you, right? I mean, that's the reality. So what is it? Number one, you got to know what drains you, okay? And then you have to know what fills you. And this is different for everybody, okay? So my life is an example. I love to be outside. I love nature. I love hunting. I love fishing. I love, like, I grew up doing all that kind of stuff. I love, like, snow skiing, all that kind of stuff. Like, that just, it fills me, right? I love spending time with my kids. I love, most of the time, I love spending time with my wife, you know, especially when we're not in conflict, you know, like, and like those things fill me, right? And so what happens is we need to make sure that we are making time for those things. And the busier you get, the more you have to make sure that you are scheduling things that fill you. When you get really busy, as many of us, probably all of us are, you don't schedule your work because your work comes to you. You will always have more to do. You schedule what fills you first. So the first thing that I do when it hits January is I start looking at the hunting dates for Pennsylvania. You know, and I'm blocking out days in my schedule, right, to do that. I'm blocking out days in my schedule to go on a date. I'm blocking out hours to spend time with my kids. This is my family day. This is my time away with my family at the beach. This is why, because what happens is when you're busy, if you don't schedule what fills you first, you won't do it. Because you will always find excuses to not do it. And when we were like poor in Bible school, my wife and I went on dates for 99-cent ice cream cones at McDonald's. We walked there. Like, just like it, you don't have to spend money. You don't have to. What happens is you just need to make sure that you're putting in things that maintain your soul. You have to know your soul. And you have to put things in your life and schedule your time to manage yourself well. That is our responsibility as vessels. Because there's no glory for the Lord when we're in ministry for 5 years and we burn out. Or we do something stupid. Right? And we all, you know, the people who've done that, like their names are cross, you know, splashed across headlines and stuff like that. Listen, we don't want that. We want and we pray for them. Like that's not like guilt or shame or condemnation. It's we each have a responsibility. That should put the fear of the Lord in us. If someone like that can fall, whoever it is, then none of us are above that. Yeah? Because we all have human nature. We are all clay. So you got to know what it is that fills you, schedule time. And this is, I want to talk about this because there's three levels of burnout. And I only realized this after I hit them. I didn't hit them all. Praise God. By God's grace. Okay? You have a first level. So if this is your vessel, right, and you want to be overflowing, and praise God, if you're here and like, I'm always overflowing, brother, that you can come and speak, you know. You know, we want to be overflowing. That's what we're called to be. That's God's dream for us, is to be flowing with the Holy Spirit, overflowing in our lives. But what happens is when we do more of what drains us than what fills us, we can get to a place where we hit an emotional breakdown. So where we don't want to get up again in the morning. We don't want to do it again. It's just wearying. It's tiring. Why are we doing this? I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with these people. Moses, right, complaining about the people of Israel, right? Like, God, you gave them to me, you know? And God's like, move, I'll smite them. No, don't kill them, you know? Like, you know, he just wanted to whine and complain a little bit, okay? So you can have this place where you're like, you just emotionally, you're like, I'm fed up. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. That's you're nearing an emotional breakdown. You're too low in your tank. If you ignore that, the next level in your water level, oil level, whatever you want to call it, gets this low, you have a mental breakdown. I've heard different people tell me that, like, oh, I've heard it reversed. Maybe it's mental first, emotional. I don't know. This is how I experienced it. Okay? You can wind up having a place where you can actually have a mental breakdown in life. And not only can you just not emotionally stomach it anymore, you start to have real problems. And you start to your mind starts to play tricks on you, because it can't handle the overload that you're putting it under. Okay? And then if you get really low, you have a physical breakdown. And this is where you're in a hospital bed, you can't move, and the doctors can't tell you why. Because you've totally maxed yourself out. And it starts to manifest physically. Now, can there be demonic stuff that's happening with this? Can there be attack? Yeah, yes. I mean, the enemy doesn't play fair. If he can hit a man of God or a woman of God while they're down, he's going to hit you while you're down. Which is all the more reason why you need to guard your heart. Why you need to guard your life. Amen? And be wise. Okay? So what happens here, the danger is this, is that the lower you get, the lower your water level gets, the lower your oil level gets, the more likely you are to not do what fills you. The busier you are, the more likely you are to say, I can't go on that date tonight. I can't hang out with my wife tonight, my husband tonight. I can't hang out with my kids. I can't go and take that walk that I've been longing to go for a walk. I can't take that beach trip. I can't go, you know, take time to rest and put my feet up. I got too much to do. And what happens is you wind up going in a downward spiral. And the lower you get, the faster you tend to go. I hit some of these. I was probably around here. And we have a responsibility. Now, praise God. I'm not saying that this has to be this way, right? But this is kind of how it is for people if you let it go too long and you don't do what fills you. You don't prioritize for how God has made you to be, for who he has created you to be, for what fills you, what you find pleasure in, right? The cycles that Laverne talked about, like play, the balance of work, play, work, pleasure. What is somebody else who's smart? Rest, yes. There's a fourth one. Worship. Thank you. Work, play, rest, worship. work, play, work. Yes. When we don't do those things, we wind up becoming drained. The more drained we get, the harder it is to recover sometimes. And so whose responsibility is it to take care of me? Is that your responsibility to take care of me? No. Is it my elders' team responsibility to take care of me? No. I mean, they should have a heart, you know, to love me, I hope, you know, right? But in the end of the day, we are responsible to know how God has created us to be, what fills our tank, what drains our tank, and be able to, and we need to be able to say with people in our lives, hey, I can't do this right now. We need to be able to create space for us to be healthy, because it's not like just some major of attack of the enemy that winds up taking most people out. It's this kind of little stuff. It's the little foxes. It's the stuff that we don't prepare for, the stuff that we don't plan for, the stuff that just kind of piles up. And the more successful you get in life, right? Like, I mean, it's hard to be successful. It takes a lot of work, right? I mean, you're getting up all the time and facing it. You're going to depending what areas we are successful in, I mean, you now just taken your influence and opened up your communication lines, you know, to 100,000 people a day. How do you respond to that? You know, and we have to be strategic in our ability to maintain our soul. And God is so faithful. He restores our soul, right? He's the one that does it. And so it can happen supernaturally. It can happen in a moment, like a moment of rest in his presence. Like I'm a worshiper at heart. And it's not that like I just love to worship. No. I need to worship. Like if I don't, I am not a good person. You can ask my wife. Right? And so And as much as my friend Yo was preaching, he said, you know, especially when we're charismatic Christians, we tend to, sometimes we try and escape reality, and God wants to walk with us through reality. And this is part of like the management of our reality of our lives that we get to walk with God in and be strategic about. Amen. See what else we have here. So in John chapter 2, verse 6, when Jesus turns the water into wine, what happens is there was six vessels there for purification of washing at the wedding. And they were filled with water. And that's what Jesus used to turn water into wine. And one time God told me, he said, you know, if you want to be able to hold wine, you've got to hold water. And so our lives, like we can't, though we wind up, you know, sometimes we all get cracks and God fixes us and puts us back together. And, you know, you've seen the beautiful pictures online of the pottery that's been fixed by gold and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's great. But God still wants us to hold water so that he can bring wine in our lives, so that what he can do in us is able to reflect the glory of his kingdom in what he desires to do in our generations, what he desires to do in our spheres of influence, what he desires to do among us. And so because I had this scenario where like God was doing incredible things, yet internally I was like fried. I was like, wait a second, how does this happen? How does this happen where like somebody comes and says, I've been healed of cancer. Somebody comes and says, I've been healed of AIDS. Somebody comes and says, that prophetic word like set me up for the job that I needed to get. And that happened. And I got off the street because now I have a job. And now, you know, there's just phenomenal stuff that God was doing it. And I'm like, God, you're moving, yet I'm breaking. Like somehow this isn't right. And it took me on a journey of just figuring out, like, okay, I need to be responsible for my soul, for my life, right? Like everyone in here, you're responsible for your finances, right? Hopefully. You know, we haven't outsourced that to our moms. When we were young, we outsourced all that stuff to our parents, right? But in the same way, we're all responsible for our soul. And in some cases, and in most cases, it's more important than our finances, more important than other areas of our life, is that we know how to maintain a healthy soul. We know how to maintain health in our innermost being. Any questions? We have about 20 minutes left. So, first of all, does this make sense to anybody? Has anyone lived this experience? Yeah. Let me ask some of you to become vulnerable. What are the lies that the enemy has used to try and shut you down emotionally? Okay.
And around Christmas time, I always would like to share, it was sort of an opportunity to share Christ. I had an atheist, Hindu, manager who was a type A, respected, but I shared Jesus with him more than once. And because I felt so low.
Yeah.
I heard Paul Roberts say one time, he went through low times where he said he felt so low he would have to jack him up 6 feet to bury him.
Yeah.
I felt very low during those times, but Holy Spirit helps us get through that season.
Yeah. So I just want to repeat for the sake of the recording. So one of your gifts is gifts of evangelism. When you're reaching out to somebody of a different faith who was a type A individual, I'm assuming that he would just rip you across the coals
Okay.
Yeah. That's your story, at least. Yeah. Yeah, so, all right, so God gave you words of wisdom. God gave you grace to handle all of these extra assignments that you felt like was being put on your plate because this person was not appreciating you reaching out to them with the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, you worked under that for 11 years. Wow, that's tough. So what, if you would look at that and you would start to just kind of analyze yourself. I come from a background that's not very good at analyzing I had to look on a piece of paper to figure out what I was feeling. And it why was it so draining for you, right? And not to workshop this here in front of everyone, but when something happens and it hits you in the gut, and like something can happen to me and it won't bug me. The same thing can happen to you and it really bugs you, right? Something can happen to you, won't faze you. It happens to me, it really bugs me. When something really bugs you, it's really important that you stop, you assess what is going on. Sometimes there's something that God actually has for you in that, but it's by discovering maybe some internal story as well that we have in our lives. Let me give you an example, because when I started hearing about internal stories, I was like, what? I don't have any internal stories. What? You know? An example of this is you're driving on the highway, and somebody comes flying up on the car right behind you, blows the horn, swerves out around you, goes into the median, you know, to get around you, and like, what the world is wrong with that person, right? Then you can get angry. How many of you would be upset, angry, frustrated? Yeah, right. Okay, that person didn't make you angry. Your internal story about that person made you angry. Because what happens if in a mile you come up on a car accident and that same car that just swerved around you, you see that the person driving that car standing out holding his little girl who was just in a car accident. How many of you would be angry at that point? Not a one. What changed? Understanding. The facts are the same. What changed is your internal story about what was happening. So we all can have those things, and it's really important that we figure those out, because that can be a source when those things can lose power as we discover them and as we discover what God's truth is, what God's life is, and we figure out like, okay, Lord, you've created me this way. I know how to fuel myself. I know how to put things in my life, put structures in my life that are life-giving instead of life-draining. Chris, talk to us here.
Just a question. Can you explain a little bit what helped you to come back? Because big buzzwords in the industry are self-care. You probably all heard that, right? The problem with self-care is it's good, and it helps you avoid the problem.
I'm not going to be able to repeat this, so if you could just speak
out. Yes, yes. So what helped you come back from your breakdown? You know, we talk a lot about self-care and getting people engaged with what fills them. The biggest problem with that is self-care doesn't take away the issues, the problem, right? It helps you avoid it, but it's still there. So how do you process through the emotions, the mental breakdown, and come back to a place of stability?
Great question. Yeah, because what happens is you can wind up just like going on this hamster wheel, and all the enemy has to do is introduce like a negative thing into your life, and you spin out again, right? So for me, that's where like just really going after those lies, like why does that affect me so much? And refusing to blame somebody else. Okay, somebody else might have been a jerk, right? Somebody else might have been in error, wrong, whatever. But why did it affect me so much? And when you go after that lie that the enemy tries to use, what happens is you change and you develop. Now all of a sudden, somebody can do something to you, that same thing to you again, and it's not as powerful. Right, it doesn't cause you to spin out, and in fact, there is an incredible. I mean, you all know that I'm sitting talking to a room full of leaders. Like, spiritual warfare is a lot mental. Like, yes, there are times where there's physical things that come against you, but a lot of that warfare is mental, and tries to play on your head. And if you can disempower that, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, there are, when you go through challenging seasons and you know, oh no, that's just the stuff that the enemy's tried to use since I was like 5 years old. That's just that lie that like I've learned to identify. Now I know the problem isn't with Chris, right? The problem is, and what happens is when you on your teams, what was that? When on your teams, if you have a place, we're talking about spiritual warfare right now. I'm just kidding. When you have a place where on your teams you can start to dialogue and workshop some of this stuff, you actually wind up being a source of encouragement. So like for some of my guys, I know what their lie is, which allows me to do something that's diametrically opposed to their lie. And when I have to correct them, I can say, I am not saying this, but this needs to be corrected. Right? And what happens is you wind up forming teams that, like, you all have each other's back. Their strength covers my weakness. My strength covers their weakness. And you actually form this collaboration around you as a leader and on your eldership teams and on your, right? Because we all got it. If we can all just own some of this stuff, right, and walk in and get a vision of what health can look like for our teams and for us as a person, and not like blame you because you're not like me. Like, ultimately, we try and give each other what we need instead of like being able to say, "Hey, this is what I need. This is what you need," and like, let me help you get what you need. If you help me get what I need, kind of thing. Like, that's good teamwork. That's healthy teamwork, and we can create powerful, collaborative teams that can see phenomenal things happen for the kingdom of God. That's my goal. That's my heart. Yeah, his hand was up first. Sorry.
So I've spent most of my life buying into a lie. Mm-hmm. That the lie was actually scriptural. In all things, consider others above yourself. Mm-hmm. And greater love hath no man that he's willing to lay his life down for his friend. Laying your life down doesn't mean dying. And I have fought that all of my life. My wife and I were married 16 years before she ever discovered that I didn't like thin crust pizza. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because
right.
Whatever you want, that's what we're going to get, and I'm going to eat it, and you'll never know that I hated it. I've been all the way to the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah. And so you probably have an amazing servant-hearted gift from the Lord that is part of the package of who he's created you to be, but you haven't had the structure to also protect that.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't developed the tools to stop people from drinking out of my bowl.
You haven't developed tools to stop people from drinking out of your bowl. Yeah, well, yeah. So did you have a question in that? Or is it just thank you for being vulnerable? Yeah. Okay. You hate conflict, and how do you stop people from drinking out of your bowl? I hated conflict too. That's actually one of the things that Crucial Conversations did for me, is it gave me tools to know how to have healthy conflict. Because I never saw it modeled very well. And so like I would like just cram stuff. You know, just cram, 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 and then explode. And then the punishment didn't fit the crime, right? It's like you use a bomb to kill a fly. It's just nobody else does that here, I'm sure. Like, come on, right? All right, just a few more minutes.
You talked about team and having those conversations with your team and things like that. So, bam. And because what if you have people on your team that oppose you, which is draining, and causing the conflict, stirring the pot, and you're trying to build that team, you're trying to build that unity, you're trying to build that vulnerability?
Yeah. Great question. I don't know. No, just kidding. A really educated guess on that is most of the time we wind up being offended offended by what we anticipate people's motivations are. So we're not necessarily offended by what they do as much as how we interpret what they do. So if we interpret them as stirring the pot, if we interpret their contribution to the collaborative environment as you're just trying to like angle me into a corner, if that's our internal story, that's actually our problem and not their problem. So how do you get to the bottom of that is by becoming inquisitive. Before we get angry, before we get hurt, before we get frustrated, rejected, go and say, hey, why did you say that? and let them clarify. So this is the whole like Danny Silk thing, keep your love on, is I don't get to tell you about you. You don't get to tell me about me. I get to tell you about me. And you get to tell me about you. Does that make sense? Yeah. A good book, Keep Your Love On, Unpunishable. Those are, you know, that kind of mentality of saying, like, I'm gonna own and find out and become inquisitive and start to ask questions. But before I get, like, my blood pressure goes up and before I get angry and frustrated, which can happen in a split second, if you know, right? But those, yeah. So it takes, I'm reading a business book right now called The Speed of Trust. That organizations can, this is totally not out of this, this anyway, it's just for free, where organizations move, can move at the speed as deep as they trust themselves, right? So there's a trust speed correlation. And so, you know, building a high trust environment is important, all of that, and that's more than just getting into what we talk about here. But that's part of that collaborative environment. Yeah, I mean, just last week I told some of my guys, yeah, this is a lie I struggle with, because I was asking them to reveal theirs, right? And then, so, you know, knowing that moving forward, because we not only then we move from being a source where we are scheduling in our own lives what we need to thrive and survive, we wind up helping others get what they need to thrive and not just survive. Right, and hopefully they help us, right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good. Any other questions that are like dire questions you need to ask? I mean, there's a lot of psychology in this, but the realization is that God has created us as psychological beings, right? So does it trump spiritual things? No, but we are created spirit, soul, and body, right? And in the same way that I have a responsibility to manage my body, I have a responsibility to manage my soul. In the same way that I have a responsibility to manage my spirit, God doesn't manage our spirit, right? We have to manage our spirit. We've got to pray. We've got to read the Word of God. We've got to, that's on us, right? And He helps us, He leads us, He guides us, but my goal is that in Dove International, we have amazing, healthy leaders, right? That whose giftings aren't impeded by these kinds of things. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your heart for every leader here, every person here, every individual. I thank you, Father, for amazing collaborative environments that are going to come out of this. I thank you, Lord, for what's going to happen in 3 years, in 5 years, in 20 years, in 50 years, Father, even just because of this brief conversation that we've had here today. Holy Spirit, add to or subtract from anything I've shared. God, I'm always cautious, God, to get into the whole psychological thing. But, Lord, I know that your presence is here. And I know that you've created us as spirit beings, as soul beings with bodies. And God, we thank you that was not a mistake. Lord, you love us. And so I pray, God, that we would know how to guard our hearts, especially in key seasons, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, don't burn out. God does not want you to burn out. Amen? God does not want you to burn out.